I'd like to take a moment to let you all know about a new nonprofit organization started by my brother Craig. It's called Treats and Truth. They fill oversized brown lunch bags with snack items, chips, crackers, popcorn, cookies, etc. Also, a bottle of water, toothbrush, toothpaste, sanitary wipes, and most importantly, a small gospel tract book of John. No cigar? I'll have to talk to him about that. The bags are then hand-delivered to the homeless and people in need in and around the Los Angeles area. Let's help get this ministry off the ground. They're a 501c3 tax-exempt organization, so any and all donations are tax-deductible and greatly appreciated. Visit their website at treatsandtruth.org. Check out the show notes for the link. Also, please follow them on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you. Welcome to episode 66 of the Burning Bush Podcast, where we share the message of the Bible while enjoying a good cigar. Hope everybody's having a good week, and I'm glad you could stop by to take a listen to the podcast. This week, I am smoking the Romeo y Julieta Reserve Corona 5 5/8 by 45. And lately, I've been buying a lot of Corona cigars. I've been smoking pretty much nothing but Toros for the last 8 or 9 years. And I don't know, for some reason, the smaller ring gauges of the Corona is starting to grow on me. So let's go ahead over to the Romeo website and see what they have to say. Romeo y Julieta Reserve. An attractive, deep brown, silky wrapper leaf top off the cigars, resulting in a more seasoned version of an old favorite. Unlike any other Romeo you've experienced before. Handmade in Honduras at La Flor de Copan factory, these full-bodied beauties will captivate your senses with the distinguished smoothness of a Romeo intermingled with the rich, hearty flavors of the finest hand-selected Honduran and Nicaraguan filler tobaccos. And the wrapper is Nicaraguan, binder is Nicaraguan as well, and the fillers are Honduran and Nicaraguan. And the vitolas are the Corona 5 5/8 by 45. The Corona in Tubo also is 5 5/8 by 45. The box pressed Bellicoso, 6 1/8 by 52. Robusto, 5 by 54. Rothschild and Tubo, 5 by 54. Titan and Tubo, 6 by 54. The Churchill, 7 by 54. And the Toro is a 6 by 56. That is the Romeo y Julieta Reserve. So let's go ahead and get back into this week's section of chapter 4 of Dr. Justin Bass's book, The Bedrock of Christianity. And the title of this week's section is For Our Sins According to the Scriptures. Whether this theological statement about Jesus' historical death is true largely hinges on the question of Jesus' resurrection. Did the historical Jesus rise from the dead? If he did, then one can reasonably conclude that he died for our sins. As you will see below, the historical Jesus himself said to his followers the night before he was crucified at the Last Supper, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." 1 Corinthians 11:25. The promise of the new covenant from the prophet Jeremiah would have resounded in these Jewish followers' minds. "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Jeremiah 31, 31, and 34. The critical question of the historicity of the resurrection must await the final chapter. For now, let us at least briefly explore what the earliest followers of Jesus meant when they proclaimed, "Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Isaiah 53 is the only place in all the Hebrew Scriptures that contains a statement corresponding to "died for our sins." The suffering servant, a mysterious figure that appears throughout Isaiah 40 through 55, is said in 53:12 to bear the sins of many and even intercede for their sins. This means Isaiah 53 is almost certainly in the background to 1 Corinthians 15:3b, "Christ died for our sins." Commentators on 1 Corinthians almost universally agree that Isaiah 53 is in the background of this passage when it says, "according to the Scriptures," specifically these texts from the prophet Isaiah. "But he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." Isaiah 53, 5 through 6. "He himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors." Isaiah 53, 12. Notice the key phrases, "pierced through for our transgressions," "crushed for our iniquities," "bore the sin of many," and "interceded for the transgressors." Those last two phrases in the versions of Isaiah from the Greek Septuagint and found among the Dead Sea Scrolls have "sins" instead of "the sin" and "their transgressions" instead of "the transgressors." Therefore, the most ancient reading of this passage, and the one Paul would have been familiar with, declares, "He himself bore the sins of many and interceded for their sins." Isaiah 53:12. The earliest followers of Jesus believed that Jesus' death was in some way in substitution for them, specifically for their sins. Paul makes these substitutionary claims even more explicit in other passages in his early letters. "For the love of Christ compels us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died." 2 Corinthians 5:14. "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." 2 Corinthians 5:21. "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" Galatians 3:13. "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5, 6 through 8. "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. As was already quoted above, Paul even personalizes Christ's death as for me. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Galatians 2:20, and see also Romans 14:15 and 1 Corinthians 8:11. If the earliest apostles from Jerusalem, Peter, James, John, the 12, and the others, are preaching the same thing as Paul, see 1 Corinthians 15:11, then they are all teaching the substitutionary death of Jesus for our sins. And that'll finish this week's section of chapter 4 of Dr. Justin Bass's book, The Bedrock of Christianity. Don't forget to check out the links in the show notes for Dr. Bass's website, where you can pick up copies of his books, check out his YouTube videos, also Treats and Truth Ministry for helping out the homeless, as well as groundworksministries.com for daily Bible studies and devotionals, and of course the Burning Bush podcast merchandise store, where you can pick up some items to help spread the word about the show. And as always, I'd appreciate it if you would tell your friends. So until next week, have a great day, have a great cigar, and God bless.